This is sufficient to have stood, though free to fall. An Avengers movieverse fanfic, written by Tigress Wolf and read by Rena Jenkins. The story is rated R, contains the pairing Loki Tony Stark, with additional tags for stream of consciousness, seduction, kidnapping, non-graphic violence, some movie spoilers. Part 1. See, the thing is, the thing Tony will never admit to anyone, until he does, is that if he made himself a god, just for him, perfect and broken, to fit in all his shattered places, it would be Loki. Loki, the cleverest person in 9 realms, self-declared, but no one's arguing. Loki, angry and bitter, and so damned powerful, Tony can't help but believe him when he says that plan didn't fail. It went perfectly, because it got the invaders killed and him back in Asgard. Yeah, Tony's not an idiot. The opposite, actually. Not the cleverest person in 9 realms, but Loki smirks at him sometimes, whenever they foil him again. What, like you thought Asgard could hold him? He had at least 1,000 years of studying their methods. Loki smirks at him, and sometimes a sheet of paper explaining his latest trick shows up in Tony's workshop. And he should tell someone about that. He really should. Fury or Thor, or at least Bruce, the only person on Earth capable of actually slowing Loki down. He should tell someone. Pepper, maybe? Wonderful Pepper. The only person to ever stick things out with him. Until he fucked things up again. And he doesn't blame her for backing off, being friend and CEO, but not lover, never again. I know what you're doing, Clint tells him one afternoon, when he drops in to talk about arrows and explosions. I'm doing a lot of things, Tony says, and Clint huffs a small laugh. But Clint doesn't tell anyone else, and sometimes he looks so wistful. Tony wonders what Clint's perfect god would look like. It's not going to end well, because Tony won't betray the one family he's ever had, and he won't kill... Tony doesn't believe in gods. He believes in what he can test, and apparently faith doesn't really take well to being tested. And more primitive humans might have worshipped Asgard, but Tony's seen them bleed and weep, and he knows he could kill them. Gods don't bleed, and gods don't weep. Gods don't die. Everything dies. So see, the thing is, Loki is not Tony's god. He's always had a soft spot for Hephaestus, actually. But Loki had scoffed when he asked about that. What? Of course they're talking. You think Tony can hang out with anyone for a while without talking? Please. Even if their mouths did other things for a bit. Well, Loki's got this voice, right? Of course Tony talks to him. Anyway, the point. Tony's run the numbers, assessed the variables, plotted out 1,000 ways this whole thing can go. None of them end well. Iron Man is a hero. Somehow. Tony knows what a slippery slope those first few weeks were, when he looked out over the world and thought about it. No one could have stopped him then. But he saw Obi. Felt Obi. And he saw what not to do, what not to become. And Loki, Thor's little brother, lashing out and so damned bitter. He never had that. He could be Loki, and Loki could have been him. And Natasha studies him sometimes, and he raises an eyebrow at her, and she doesn't say a thing. if I asked? Loki muses, one finger tracing Tony's jaw, his other hand spread out over the arc reactor. Loki doesn't finish the thought, but Tony's not a moron. Loki's attacks lately have been almost easygoing. Simple. Child's play. Courting gifts. I'd refuse, he says, but he isn't sure anymore. And Loki's small smile and biting kiss says he knows it. Part 2. Tony's caught without his suit, without his team, without anything but his brains and his hands. Last time he was in this situation, he turned a cave into a tomb and showed the whole world it should fear him. But apparently, the lesson didn't stick. You will do what we want, would-be Big Bad pronounces, glaring down at Tony. You will do what we want, or you will die. Tony raises an eyebrow and smirks, because, yeah, no, that's not how this works. This guy doesn't have anyone he can threaten for Tony's cooperation, because he's not that smart, and Tony's not inclined to do anything this stupid bastard wants. The big bad slaps him across the face. Tony turns with it and looks back, still smirking. The big bad's glare intensifies, and Tony gives it 10 minutes, maybe, before his team shows up. Such a stupid idiot. And he snaps something in whatever language he normally speaks, and three minions march over, grabbing Tony's shoulders and tearing off his shirt. Which, no. Do what we want, Mr. Stark, would-be Big Bad says, or we remove the machine from your heart. No, Tony says. Very well, Big Bad says, and the minions' grips tighten, and Big Bad reaches. Tony can handle it, really, he can, except now he's back in Malibu, and the man he used to love, the man he looked up to, the man he trusted is killing him, and talking so softly, so cruelly, and he's helpless, and he's alone, and he's betrayed. Oh, you shouldn't do that, a cold, arrogant voice says. And Big Bad stops as Tony blinks back in the warehouse. And always warehouses. He should just buy the lot of them so bad guys quit having access. And everyone looks over on Moss. And there is Loki. Of course there's Loki. They've been dancing for months now. How did you get in? Big Bad demands, as the goons not holding Tony rush Loki. Loki rolls his eyes, and the goons collapse. The Big Bad growls and turns back to Tony, reaching for his chest. And his neck snaps, and the rest of his goons hit the floor. Next time this happens, Loki murmurs, leaning in to kiss his way along Tony's jaw. Call my name. Tony doesn't reply, but he tilts his head to give Loki access to his neck, and he knows that yes is getting closer all the time. The end.